Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Uh-oh, the last cookie.
You can get a new box of cookies in as fast as an hour with Walmart Express delivery.
Are you my guilty self-conscious?
No, I'm the voice offering you promo code EXPRESS for free delivery on your first order.
Hey, who ate my cookies?
You mean, these cookies?
Order now. Welcome to your Walmart. Promotion valid for first Express delivery order. $50 minimum subject to availability. Restrictions apply.
Off the Ball Daily,
a home for your favorite podcasts from Off the Ball.
I wouldn't do that because that would be in the
Why can't I say noughties?
Because that's too vague.
And again,
he just said 80s.
Quizmaster discretion.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
OTB GAA.
The Football Pod on Off the Ball in partnership with AIB, proud sponsors of the Football, Hurling and Camogie All-Ireland Club Championships. Hashtag the toughest.
Hello there, and you're very welcome along to the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue. You're very welcome back to the fifth season of the pod. We're into 2025. We've had one of the last games of the old rules, you could say. We still have a sixth final to come. But Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue, Kula and Eric O'Kieran developed into something in the second half. But that first half, Paddy, was absolutely astounding in many ways, from Kula on one hand and also Eric O'Kieran's in it, like just the fact that it didn't show up.
Yeah, like a 14-point lead at halftime, and Kula were full value for it as well. It was a phenomenal performance from them, and on the flip side, it was a really, really poor performance from Eric O'Kieran. So the build-up to the game, look, we were obviously very excited about it. They've been two outstanding teams throughout the course of the season, and a lot of the talk was obviously Khan and Derek Hannifin. What were we going to see? And I seen Enda McGinley speaking with you guys after the match. A nightmare first half. That's how he put it. Your worst nightmare coming through. And that's just such a, from Eric O'Kieran's perspective, such a disappointing thing to happen on the biggest day for their club. They just did not show up. Kula just at will, dominating all over the pitch. They couldn't handle the running game, the power, the middle third. Duffy and Pat O'Craffick-Byrne at midfield just dominated. And then Eric O'Kieran lose Derek Hannifin after 20 minutes as well. It just literally was going from bad to worse for them. But to their credit, and we said we were obviously on WhatsApp together, the Hurling final played out like that a bit as well. The Fianna just totally dominated Sarsfields. Sarsfields never really got back into the game, but at least, to be fair to Eric O'Kieran, like, they get that back to 3 points coming down the stretch, which is a testament to the team they had shown that they were over the course of the season. Obviously, Peter Hart had an incredible second half, one of the goals of the season as well already. But it was Kula's day. I mean, you have to say they were full value for it in the end. Eric will be so disappointed. They just left themselves too much to do. But for Kula, what a story for them as a club. Obviously, back-to-back hurling titles earlier, only about 5 or 6 years ago, and to back that up with a football title yesterday, what a story for that club. Obviously, the likes of Mick Fitzsimons and Khan get a lot of the headlines, but as a team, they've just been so solid all season. They had their little blip where they switched off and went to sleep and allowed Errol back into the game, but they settled the nerves down the stretch, and it's an incredible story for that club.
Yeah, it is remarkable, and we'll be talking a little bit about that. James, the nightmare scenario transpired for Errol Kieran. Speaking to Enda McGinley afterwards, he sort of sided, looking at Kula's semi-final and the manner in which they, you know, very understatedly shook hands with the opposition, clapped each other's on the back, walked off the field. There was no great fanfare. And then he contrasted it with the emotion of, I suppose, the Eric O'Kieran win in Newbridge, where they got over the line after extra time. There was boys cramping, the emotion with the fans and families on the field. He was talking about special, special days for the club. The fact that there were supporters on the bus on the way down, hopping on, and tears in the eyes of the players. And he was sort of going,
did we allow it to become too much? Like, did the emotion get to us? And it's all well and good saying that in hindsight, but Jesus, they were absolutely crushed by that first half performance, the fact that they didn't show up. Has that ever happened to you before, where a team you're on, or do you know, where it just hasn't, just nobody, I'm looking at my stats here, I think they had 4 shots in the first 20 minutes. If even 3 shots. A point from Thomas Canavan. They didn't even lay a glove on them before Darragh Canavan went off.
No. They were caught in the headlights a little bit. But going back to the semi-final, and I did say it last week, I was like, with the 1 week turnaround, it was due to be 2 only for the Frost. 1 week turnaround, going to the well against Dr. Crokes, leaving everything out there, and you could see how much emotion it was to be back to the final. They had no time at all to come down. Now, it's not an excuse or anything, but it is a small factor. But like, the level of Coolah we're playing at was way above all the other semi-finalists and obviously the final. Like, they're by far the best team in the competition. So even if that semi-final was on a week earlier, would it have made that much of a difference? I don't know. Would it have been the drubbing that it was in the first half? But Coolah were playing on a different planet, I thought. I thought they were absolutely outstanding. Now, Errigal showed unbelievable character and personality and bravery after halftime to come out and put on the performance they did, especially Peter Hart. He absolutely dragged them.
It was unbelievable.
Everything he could have done, he did. And you know what? I know he got sent off in the end, but he nearly deserved to get sent off.
Blaze of glory. Yeah.
I mean, he did so much. And even that last play where he did get sent off, you know, the frustration there where maybe he didn't get the ball back. He just lashed out. But I just thought he was outstanding. That goal. Because he turned down the dish. There was someone off his shoulder. I think it was kind of off his shoulder maybe. And he said, no, I'm going for this on my own. With the left from the wrong side, it was just an incredible finish.
Yeah.
But I thought he was magnificent. But the only thing I will say about, and I always say it, when teams are down a good share of points, it's almost easy to play at that stage because the game is over. Like, you've nothing to lose. Whereas Coolah came out and were at it from the start, and they deserve all the credit because they really went at it early and won the game before Errigal had even woken up nearly, which is the sad thing about the game. But I just think Coolah deserve all the credit. As much as Errigal Curran came back into the game, showed great bravery, it was Coolah's brilliance that was the factor.
Yeah, Paddy, Peter Hart's goal will definitely steal the headlines, right? And I want to ask you about that in a second, but
yeah,
let's just talk about Coolah's first half goals, because the first two are beautiful finishes, right? There's space created.
Yeah.
Mick Fitt slips in Caldoran for the first one, and then David O'Dowd has slipped in. I think there's a brilliant surging run from Owen Kennedy in the build-up to David O'Dowd's. Oh. They're two lovely cushioned finishes. And in the third goal, it was nearly remnant of Con O'Callaghan's runs and goals into the hill in the 2017 campaign. He picks the ball up from deep. He surges through. And instead of shooting and finishing this time, he slips it to Pat O'Coffey-Byrne, who gets the goal. But they were just they embodied the way the Coolah have played throughout this year. So cool and calm and just perfect finishes.
No, I didn't encapsulate it. Why Coolah were so dominant in that first half as well. You mentioned it. Surging runs, all three of them. And this was, I think, Austin O'Malley deserved massive credit. They were so well set up and structured. We knew this is one of Coolah's strengths. They're very difficult to play against. They're so well organised. You kind of have Fitzy kind of marshalling the defence and making sure everyone's doing what they're doing and they're not giving away anything cheap, and then you've Conn leading the attack. They had the platform from kickouts. I could see Errigal Kieran, okay, fair enough, and they probably were trying to play a very similar style to Coolah. They were going to drop loads of bodies back. We're not going to see this style of play really much more going forward. The National League's there this weekend. This is going to become defunct. But this style of play was very effective over the last number of years. And Errigal Kieran are saying, we'll get bodies back into our own 45 and we'll frustrate Coolah. But they were just so passive in everything they did. They'd lose the kickouts. They had bodies back. But there's one thing having 12 or 13 or 14 guys back inside your own 45. The guys have to play with intensity when they're back there. And Errigal Kieran just never did that. The runners from deep, every time Coolah attacked, and Coolah completely at the other end of the scale, they had so much intensity and speed in all, everything they did in the first half. Their transitions, they died off in the second half, as expected, because it's very difficult to keep that level of speed and intensity up in your play. But in that first half, runners from deep, off the shoulder, Errigal had bodies back in their own 45, but Coolah were just like a knife through butter. And those runs, they got three goals. They're actually in another, a couple of other times as well. And you could see, Errol Kieran, a bit of it, Jimmy, and to be fair, you did say it last week, there was a bit of shell-shocked nature to what was happening, but they were just so passive all over the pitch. You know, and that's not how they normally play. So was that down to the fatigue, obviously, of a tough run? Was it the occasion? Maybe Enda Greenlee's right. From my experience and that side of things, that is too much emotion to have going into a game. I get it. It's such a huge occasion. A club is maybe it's different from senior in the county, which is a lot more clinical, but you just got the sense that first 30 minutes, Errigal just were just operating in second or third gear, and Coola, to be fair, were out of the blocks. They were well set, they were well structured, but then they brought the intensity to it. And like, you can't say they were totally full value for a 14-point lead in an all-out. Like, Errigal missed a couple of chances, or Coola were just so clinical. I mean, it could have been more, you know, and that's, I'm kind of in the middle here. Coola were exceptional, but Errigal were so bad. And when those two things collided, it leads to, it was a poor spectacle, but that's the credit to Errigal to bring it back, that in the final quarter, it actually was a game. You know, and that's massive credit to them, but they were never going to get it back. It was just too much. They left themselves too much to do. And Coola, we said it all season, obviously Fitzsimons and Campbell get a lot of the heights because they're known nationwide. They're kind of blue chip players. But it was such a team dominant performance across the board. It was from Coola's perspective, and we've seen it with Nafina and the hurling, their coach spoke afterwards, you feel like it was their best performance on the biggest day. Yeah. That's an incredible thing for a team to deliver under those circumstances and that pressure. But it was a brilliant, brilliant day for them, and they were such value for it.
But I was happy and relieved for Errigal Kieran that they did come out.
Yeah.
And like, they didn't obviously turn it completely around, but I mean, personally, they must have gone away and said, well, at least we came out and fought in the second half, and we saved our day a bit, because if it had turned into a 10 or 12 point drubbing, I mean, that scars you for your whole career. Yeah. Like, they dragged it back. They showed courage and bravery. They got it back to 3 points, as you said. And that does say a lot for a fella on All-Ireland final day, if they can turn that around. Mm. So I was so happy for them that they did turn around, because it would have been scarring for all of them.
And I also think it's worth noting, like, Aidan McCrory in the full back line, Peter Hart, Kieran McGinley, and Thomas Canavan in the half forward line. They're their elder statesmen. Like, Canavan was a minor back in 2010. McGinley was on the Tyrone senior panel and doing very well in 14, 15, 16. Like, they were the ones that kind of kick-started that comeback in the second half. But you mentioned it yourselves, lads, the Ryder over stuff from Peter Hart. It was minutes into the second half. Like, he scores after 18 seconds. Then he wins the kick-out. He had pause over turnovers. He was setting up scores. Like,
he was catching shots drop short. He was absolutely everywhere.
Like, when the goal, lads.
But Brian Tyers, did you hear Brian Tyers on commentary for TG Carr? Like, he calls him Peter Canavan. Like, he just in the moment of it. Like, it was just, oh.
The goal was just, I was laughing when I went in. It was a strike. Like, he was kind of saying, like, fuck this. I just, like, 99 times out of 100, you're not going to go for that. Even though they're so far behind. It was just utter frustration. This is, and I'd say he'd probably been relatively quiet, because you know the quality he has and has shown for over a decade. One of the most talented players in the country, one of Tyrone's absolute key performers through everything they've done over the last 10-15 years. He'd been kind of under the radar because Rory and Derek Canavan had been to the forefront, but he said potentially here's a guy who's going to deliver a big performance, and ultimately it was him. He had to, because Dara was obviously gone. Rory was quieter than Eric would have hoped. But the goal was just like, I'm so pissed off. This is the biggest day for our club and we're getting a hiding. I'm going to have a volley here from 30 yards out. And just the dip. It was an incredible.
He actually lobs him.
Van Basten. Van Basten goal. The dip. It was unbelievable. And, it was arguably, I think, I know we're in the second week of January, but have we seen the goal of the season already?
Goal of the month. We'll give him goal of the month.
He takes on his man. Like, the amount of times you don't see that on the inside line. He takes on his man. He creates the shot for himself. You know, he just does the right thing. That's the thing about Peter Hart, I think. Every decision he makes, the right decision. Now, he might
he might execute something wrong at the very odd time, or has he got been caught for overcarrying once or twice in the last couple of games? But every decision is on point. He's just such a smart player.
Yeah. So Kula 314, Eric Lekeeran 116. A couple of quick ones, Paddy, before we move on and we start looking at the future of Gaelic football and the National Football League kicking off this weekend.
A big week.
We also have a members pod in the football pod coming out on Wednesday where we'll look a bit deeper at that. So the Kula side, and with your Dublin hat on, because they had a lot of impressive performers throughout their campaign, give us an idea of who you'd be excited to see. Like, in one sense, that half-back line, like, wow, McMorrow, O'Dowd, Kennedy, a lot of power, a lot of pace, the midfield, and then we've got the full forward line. You know, beside Khan, there's a fella named Niall as well. So
they'll need a lot of them.
Well, Dublin need them. Sure, they're running out of players.
They're just
going to
fog out themselves. They're just going to get the cooler lads in Dublin kits this Saturday for the game against Mayo. I know there's been talk around McMorrow. He's actually, just on that, he's the guy who's marking Canavan for that goal. So his athleticism, his power, he's a young player. There will be hopes he's going to get exposure with Dublin. On it yesterday, not to take away from Peter, an unbelievable goal from Peter. It's poor enough defending from him. He's more suited to the half-back line and that kind of athletic style, which Dublin love and which is going to be so important in the game. But he finds himself in the full-back line. He's done on the turn, and that's just for him knowing your players. You know, you're on Peter Hart. He's a left-footer. Show him into the inside. Shepherd him into that channel. That's more for if you're in the full-back line, you learn these things. You know, he'll develop that side of things. That's the step up from being a really effective club player to... The margins are a lot tighter when you go into senior at the county, and just something like that, knowing what side the player's going to go on to, being a bit tighter. He's not a full back line player anyway.
No.
Just lessons for him from yesterday, because I there are high hopes. Over egg this. He is someone Dublin would be looking at. A Dublin need. We're talking about the guys. We need defenders, and he has a lot of the attributes: the speed, the athleticism, the composure. I think we will see him in the National League. That's the challenge on the other side of things as well. Normally, you know, do you give these guys, you know, a month off to kind of settle in? Whereas you might do that for someone like, say, Khan, where he's so established, you know what you're going to get. But if you're one of the other guys who's not been playing with Dublin, you need to nearly go straight back in, which can be hard as well. The guys are obviously going to be celebrating. Obviously at midfield, where Dublin are so light with the loss of Fenton and McCarthy, I would expect we're going to see a lot of Pat O'Coughlin burn, but his midfield partner yesterday, Duffy, as well. That size, that athleticism. You know, we spoke last week, midfield, that's part of the game going forward now. You need big guys who can win ball. That was such a platform for Kula yesterday. And if you're Desi Farrell, yeah, you're going to have to start looking at these guys. Niall O'Callaghan as well. Dublin are going to need a couple of inside forwards as well. They may not have the...
What age is Niall?
23
Yeah, he's not like 19, 20. Like, you know, yeah. He's played, he's exposure, and he plays in a similar style to his brother. That real abrasive, I can win my own ball, I can take a score, lovely left peg, all of those things. Again, with the new rules, you need guys who can play that way. That if ball is coming in, you've got to be able to win it. So... I would expect, as is only natural, even with Dublin at their best over the last numbers, if you have a team who wins the All-Ireland club title, particularly in the manner that which Kula have done, you're going to definitely want to see three or four of these guys. But particularly now with Dublin in such a transitional period, I think we might see five or six of these guys and get game time in the National League. So,
do you know what might happen to some of them, Paddy? Is they're now in... a peak shape and peak fitness because they've come through this. So they'll actually be very helpful to Dublin. Early stages, National League, all through the National League probably. It'll be interesting to see if they can then sustain it, you know, into the summer and with the new rules and the new demands and everything coming. It's a completely different game for them. But like in terms of their bodies, they're not going to come down at all. They'll be on the road for 18 months.
But isn't that the tricky thing, James, what we're saying? Like we had this 2 years ago with Mickey Hart when Glenn won. That the following week, he had Conor Glass and Ethan Doherty and these guys playing down in Tralee.
And then
they ran out of puff line. So that's why with Dublin, I don't expect to see Khan, put it that way. Now, Dublin might say, we don't have anyone else left. We need to fucking
play. He's the type
Khan.
Of fellow who'd probably want to play as well, isn't he?
Yeah, But if you're a Desi, you want to try and protect Khan because he's been on the role playing so long. You need Khan later in the year. But for those other guys, who like McMorrow, like Pat O'Coughlin-Byrne, they haven't had exposure with Dublin really before. If you're in their shoes, you're probably thinking, okay, and enjoy a few points last night and today, but you'd be mad for an opportunity with Dublin as well. So it'll be interesting. I think it might be a bit soon to see them on Saturday night against Mayo, but through the National League, I definitely think we're going to see a smattering of cooler players amongst others, because I know we'll get into the fully into the inter-county season now. Dublin need to, more than ever, need to find 7, 8, 9 players. I think it's going to be a really difficult National League for them, but these cooler guys are definitely going to get an opportunity, and they deserve it on the basis of what they've done over the last 6 months.
Just a quick one on Khan, because he's such a brilliant player, right? Such a leader. And yesterday, he wasn't at his unbelievable scoring best, but he plays such a different role for Coola.
Yeah.
When Petey Hart's goal went in, the last man back was Conn O'Callaghan. Like, he plays so selflessly and with such leadership, and then we're still judging him. We want him to score 2 goals and 6 points or whatever, you know? But, like, in these club games, these fellas are going above and beyond in all different roles that, you know, you probably don't actually account for, even in the dressing room and around, you know, during the game, they're doing different roles. They're not just doing their scoring role like they do for Intercounty. They're doing so much more. And I just think Khan is such an inspirational leader for them.
Isn't that, Jimmy? That's what you have to do at club level. That you need to be a jack of all trades.
Yeah.
Know, with Dublin, the levels are indicated. The levels are much higher. That you have to, you can, I was saying this sound wrong, but you can trust the other players to do their jobs. Whereas a club, you probably need to go and give a bit more of a dig out to make sure.
Yeah.
Like you look in the last quarter as well, the two players who are in the centre channel for Coola are Fitzy and Khan in their own half-back line, just kind of making sure we do not give this away and marshalling everyone around them, because they were under the pump again that period. It was going to be hard for them to sustain the intensity they were playing at. And we've said it all throughout this run. They've had a tendency to have a little dip in games and allow teams back in. But when you've Conn and Fitzsimons there, with the experience these guys have and the quality and just their character, you've mentioned leadership, these two guys are as good as it gets. And Coola have built a team around those guys.
Yeah,
and
their captain was telling us that they had Mick,
I've seen that.
And then they had Khan, and then Pat O'Coughlin-Byrne comes, and that's a big man to have in the middle of the field. Paddy, I'll just put it to you, because we mentioned it last week about Conn O'Callaghan and the way he stood up in the last 10 minutes. From his last 5 possessions, O'Callaghan scored a point, he assisted 2 more, and he made that late block. When Eric Kieran chased the goal. Like, even the fact, like, even the 45 he kicked off the deck, like,
I would have questioned
his long range shooting before.
I never realised Khan can kick the ball 80 metres off the deck. He must be milling the squats out of it. The 2 45s he kicks, there's another 30 yards on them. So, what a useful thing for Dublin as well going forward. But his all round game is incredible. Like, Khan. He gets the product, lads. But
does he though? Because people still think he's a little bit underrated, even though that list, the outrageous
Khan
list of his achievements.
Khan is not underrated. If you
when you call the king, if you call the king, you're like not underrated.
The president of the GAA was calling him King Khan yesterday. I don't. If you have any semblance of GAA in game football, I think you realise Khan O'Callaghan is one of the best players of his generation. And like he's going to have 3 or 4 years left. You know, what else can this guy potentially do?
Yeah. So, but you know,
his leadership, perhaps if people don't know, it is incredible. Like since this guy first came on the scene, his maturity, you just know by the demeanour of this guy. And to be fair, he's kind of maybe learning from Fitzy beside him as well. What an incredible,
there's a great
career that this guy has built. Fitzy, we may not see as much of him as we will of Khan over the coming years. So I have to say.
Well, you retired Fitzy last week.
Talk about a guy with nothing left to prove. So we don't know how much more we will see of him, but I'm.
Do you know what?
I was delighted for both of those guys and for Coola, I have to say. But those two guys in particular, I haven't played with them for over a decade and know how much it means to both of them. What ambassadors they are for Dublin GAA and for their club yesterday.
I caught Mick Fitzsimons after the game in the shadows of Croke Park. We might actually roll that at the end of this, so I'll come back to Mick at the very end of the pod here and play that for you. Lads, you're both very busy, so we're recording early on a Monday morning. Did either of you turn down an appearance on the Late Late Show GA special?
Got a bit spicy, didn't it? Jeez.
There's
a couple of things going on.
Maybe wedged in between.
Before we go, Conor McManus hung up his boots over the weekend.
Going to get to that. I wanted to make a point here, right, because I'm a little bit worried we're going to get an announcement out of the Armagh camp that Aidan Forker has defected to soccer and Conor Turbitt has decided to emigrate, because we've done the Football Pod Club before Christmas. James McCarthy obviously retired just beforehand. Louisa Murherty retired a week after chatting to us. Kayleigh Cronin decided to head off to Australia. And now Conor McManus, the legend who just gave us so many clutch moments. And Monaghan fans, what a treat they got over the last 15 years and change. Like, what a career. He told us in the pod, he was giving himself a chance. He wanted to give it a go for those 6 weeks, but obviously just the body didn't react the way he wanted to. And that man leaves with absolutely no regrets. Like, what a career he put in and what a shift.
Yeah, I was disappointed because I think he had a glint in the eye when we met him. Do you know, I think he still wanted it. He was like, because we were saying, where are you in the rankings? You know, and, you know, we still have big aspirations. So I'm thinking the worst. I think maybe his body let him down and maybe made a call for him. But I mean, all his best scores have been going around online, and in fairness, he was an outrageous kicker. Like, every single time he struck it so sweetly over the black spot, no problem, and a clutch player.
Yeah.
When it came down the stretch, he might have been quiet, which I always say about inside forwards. You can be quiet for an hour or 50 minutes or whatever, but when it comes to it, if you can stand up and kick scores down the stretch, then you're a proper player. And in fairness to McManus, every time he was there for his team in clutch moments.
On that, Jimmy, I'd nearly value that. Technically, he was exceptional, obviously, but, you know, we all know players, even at club level, who have technical skills. It's the stones, the mentality to go. And you remember Monaghan through kind of 15, 16, 17, 18, the blanket defences in Ulster. Monaghan were vying with Donegal and Tyrone to be the top team in Ulster. He was playing against tough operations and he was being double teamed.
Better on the place.
Absolutely. Basically, a nice way of saying he's getting the fucking head knocked off him. But he was still delivering. We've seen his semi-final performance against Dublin in 2023 where, you know, fighting against the light, he was standing up again and still delivering for Monaghan. So I agree. I would have loved to have seen him from a selfish point of view with the new rules, you think, of all the players that this might suit. And I agree, when we were chatting up in Concord Wood, early December, end of November, you got the sense he was still mad for Road, which kind of spoke about his passion for Gaelic football, but his passion for Monaghan. And when I seen the news, obviously, you kind of think the body just hasn't played ball with him. You know, he's probably been squeezing that orange for the last 4 or 5 years. So what an unbelievable player. What an unbelievable loss to Monaghan. But I think, again, if you love Gaelic football, he's one of those players, you know, the likes of McClifford, obviously. Lee Keegan probably had this. Fenton definitely had it with Dublin. Gaelic football fans loved watching this guy. You know, he transcended. He wasn't just a Monaghan legend. People wanted to see this guy play. And if you look, I remember watching his international rules career with Ireland. Mm-hmm. He was exceptional. You know, and this is amongst the best players in the country. And he was still standing out, head and shoulders above some of those guys as well. So his legacy is secured as one of the best players of his generation. Sad to see him go. But what unbelievable player. What a leader for Monaghan, and just a good fucking lad as well, isn't he? A man you go for a pint with, like, put it that way.
Yeah. Do you know, sometimes when fellas retire, you're almost happy because we've seen the best of him. Do you know, he's been absolutely incredible. You want to remember him at his best, not strapped together or taped together, do you know, when he's not feeling at his best, do you know. So I think that we'll remember him as just an incredible player, playing at the top level right to the end.
Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened. There you go. Do you like that one?
Beautiful. That absolutely one stunning.
Conor McManus, 2025, baby.
The Football Pod is, of course, brought to you with thanks to AIB, proud sponsor of the Senior Football Championship, the club championships too. Check out hashtag the toughest for more. Yeah, best of luck to Conor McManus, and I'm sure we'll chat to him at some stage soon. What a career. Lads, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this looking at the National Football League kicking off this weekend.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
The highest achievers among us are the people still striving, still reaching for something. The people who aren't satisfied to stay where they are and want to keep climbing higher. And it's those people who approach the impossible and embrace it. There's a vehicle for people like that. It's called the Defender. The Defender is an icon reimagined for a new generation of explorers through thoroughly modern design. Its interior is modern and functional, with rich material finishes and quality craftsmanship. When you're in a Defender, you can tell the interior is built for purpose. Luxury appointments throughout and practical storage options ensure you adventure in comfort. This is a vehicle capable of great things and engineered to meet challenges head-on. Wherever you're headed, experience the Defender's legendary capability, both off-road and on. And there's a family of vehicles for Defender. Meet the Defender 90, Defender 110, and the 8-seat Defender 130. Are you ready to embrace the impossible? Explore the Defender at LandRoverUSA.com.
There are some things in life that just shouldn't be forgotten. Like bringing your keys when you leave the house, setting your fantasy lineup, and most importantly, having Hidden Valley Ranch to watch the game. Especially if wings are on the menu. Those creamy, zesty, cool ranch flavors take each spicy, savory bite to an unforgettable level. Hidden Valley Ranch, only serious about flavor.
The kids are still at practice, and I have no idea what's for dinner.
You can get a rotisserie chicken and two sides for just $15 in as fast as an hour with Walmart Express delivery.
Who said that? Who's in my house? Don't play with me, because I'm not the one.
It's just your friendly Walmart announcer. This is a commercial.
Oh, okay. You were saying dinner for a family was just $15?
Yep. It'll be at your door by the time you get the kids home from practice. Order now. Welcome to your Walmart. Subject to availability. Restrictions and fees apply.
Now that was a helpful commercial.
All right, you're very welcome back to the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue. Boys, we're going to do a quick 15, 20 minutes here on the National Football League. We're going to be back on Wednesday afternoon, and we'll dig a bit deeper. I think we might get a couple of predictions off you, and we will, and like, talk about a bluffer's game, predictions. Anyone listening to the pod for the last few years, how on earth are you going to get predictions right this time around?
Whatever. We have no chance of predicting. No one knows what's going to happen this weekend. No, like, you were saying teams to watch. Like, it's a completely different sport. I haven't a clue. Less of a clue than I normally would have had the previous year, so.
It is impossible. You don't know who's on the panels at the moment either.
Yeah.
Like, teams haven't released their full list of who's actually available. So
I think Leitrim have released their panels, and
who's the Leitrim manager?
Stephen Poacher.
Your manager,
Stephen Poacher.
My buddy.
Yes.
Because they're third of the year, is it?
Third manager, like fucking Chelsea back in the day, like.
Leitrim have lost.
Big turnaround of players. Big turnaround of players in Leitrim.
Yeah, but even across the board, the turnaround of players is unbelievable. You're so right, lads. Even trying to get a look at like teams from challenge matches, we've less knowledge to go on from previous years with no preseason competitions. There's new rules kicking in. I think that your All-Ireland medals, there's eight between you there. There's little to no relevance to them anymore. Yeah, so we're all starting for base. I may as well get Johnny from down the road on the pod rather than...
You need to get new lads on the pod. We had a great run. Four seasons. Knocking on the head now. Hand over the baton.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Like, for this we get, like you're what? Dublin Mayo, Armagh, Galway, we repeated the All-Ireland final. Donegal against Kerry, normally. But I'd say normally. These are all massive games. But... there's no, like, talk about what teams are in form, what work have teams done. We just don't know what. Like, I'm looking forward to see, hopefully, Michael Murphy back in action. I know he's had a bit of a knock. Donegal, put it this way, if there was no rule changes and it was the same format as previous years, you would have Donegal as serious contenders in terms of what they did last season, an extra bit of time with McGuinness, Michael Murphy coming back in. You feel like they're on an upward trajectory. The other teams around, can Armagh kind of ride her over stuff to win the All-Ireland last year? Can they back that up? I don't know. I wouldn't have had massive money on them to do that. Tyrone with Malik O'Rourke. Obviously, they're going to be missing Darragh Canavan and Rory Canavan. And Galway, total change in their backroom team. Probably should have won the All-Ireland. I would have had them as they put themselves in a great position. How do they deal with the setback of losing that final? Can Paul Conroy, at 35 years of age, go again as you know, footballer of the year? So all of these types of questions are there normally, outside of, by the way, we've completely changed how the game is played. Just throw that into the mix. So this weekend is going to be...
It's class.
Exciting. Yeah. I'm being Croker on Saturday night.
Yes,
I'm looking
I'll be there
forward to seeing what happens. And from the Dublin side of things, who the fuck is going to be playing for Dublin?
you don't even have a team.
Let's throw that in the mix. I have no idea who is going to line out for Dublin. So there are so many stories coming into this weekend, and it's what an exciting time. I think everyone around the country is looking forward to seeing, because outside of the panels themselves, all the public has seen is these four games back in October, November time.
Yeah,
you know. So
I think the winners of the National League, there'll be an asterisk next to it this year. It'd be like, this was the first go of the new rules. I don't think winning the National League is going to be of importance to any of the managers in Division One, especially. I think it's a case of get fellas up to speed physically, because I think physically it's going to be way more load than it was last year.
Mm.
I think you need to get more players game time, because you're going to have to use a bigger panel, because just the nature of the beast, if you're going to be running more, there's going to be more injuries, going to be more tiredness. You need to get more bodies on the field. And then just get a hang of the rules early on. Like, that's it. I don't think that results are going to come at the top of the list, but obviously avoid relegation and you're happy. If you can do those things, I think it's a successful National League campaign. You don't need to be playing out of your skin or winning the league.
Yeah.
I don't think that's how important it is.
A big thing, Jimmy, like, styles of play. We normally, not just us, everyone in kind of GAA media obsesses around styles of play. You know, this manager plays this way, or this suits this team. What is that conversation now going forward? Like,
I don't know.
What way do teams... What is Armagh's style of play this year? What are teams going to do? How are they going to adapt to this? Because it's such fundamental changes in how, for players, how the game has been played, for coaches, how it's been coached, for, you know, supporters and media, how we report and view the game. It is, not to put too fine, but it's a totally new world we're going into this weekend. That's the exciting piece. But I think I agree with coaches, with players, kind of just finding your feet, going, you know, and even through the national, teams might go into this weekend going, but this is, we've a handle on things, this is how we're going to try and play this new game. And, you know, by the end of the National League, that might be completely different. Mm-hmm. That might be completely different. So it's more just the experience teams and players are going to get across all the divisions and try and analyse and spot trends and, okay, this is the new rules. What really works under this format? Because, you know, the coaches are obviously going to be trying to game the system. How do we keep it really tight at the back despite these rules? And how do we really hurt teams at the other ends? So it's,
but you know, Paddy, there's going to be a lot of not shooting yourself in the foot as well, because with the 3-3, you don't want to be cut out in that and next thing give away free against you. You don't want to give out to the referee and next thing the ball's moved 50 yards, it's a free over the bar. Like, there's lots of ways where you can dismantle yourself in these rules as well. Avoid that pitfall, it's nearly a good starting space. Don't get obsessed with the rules and don't shoot yourself in the foot with them. That's nearly a good starting point. And after that, you can kind of decide how we want to play, because it's all over the place. Even the goalie situation, obviously we're hearing rumours about Donegal playing Murphy in goals, him coming up into the other half and join the attack. But then there's going to be a review of the rules after 3 or 4 games where they could pull that. So You could be absolutely on a winner on Tyrone 3.
But even if you're a player, right? Like if you put yourself back into that scenario now, like what? Particularly you're talking about, say, Coola lads coming into the Dublin panel to try and make an impression because you want to be on the team and things like that. Do you still just try initially and just play your own game to try? Because you can get totally
to an extent.
Be like, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to run up here, but I'm not allowed to run in there. And you know, if you're thinking about all these things in a game, that can absolutely take away from your own performance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can inhibit what you're trying to do. So is there a sense that maybe players, particularly newer players, just go, I'm just going to try and play normal GA that I've played for the last, you know, since I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I get to the rules at a later date. Is there a chance we go to this weekend that we don't see sweeping changes, that we see a lot of the same stuff, maybe?
I know there's a lot to take on, right? And there's going to be teething problems. I think by the end of the year, the game isn't going to look that much more different. I just think that attacking football is going to be rewarded. I honestly do. I think once it beds in, right, there's going to be a messy period. What I'm wondering is, your Sam Maguire place is secured. You've made it through the league. You've learned a few things. Now you want to bed in the rules and bed in the things that you've put into your head. I'm wondering, will teams, given that we're going to have a round robin series in May, June, will teams use April and May to just not really worry too much about the provincial championships and just work on maybe getting that extra bit of load in, you know, developing on actual game strategies and stuff like that. Maybe not using them in the provincial championships, but there is no room really once you kind of trial them in the league to really bed them in. So it's just such a tight turnaround. I just wonder, will it be like May, June, July direction before
you say that, Tommy? And again, you might say, but if you're the Ulster Championship, they will all say, every participant and every county, rules or not, that is a massive thing. And so teams are going to want to perform in that. And on the other side, if you're in Westmeath or you're Brian Flanagan in Kildare or you're Robbie Brennan in Meath, because these guys have all spoken about this, you get the sense that maybe this year's Leinster Championship is potentially an opportunity to really compete with Dublin. So do you think Louth or Kildare or Meath or Westmeath under new management are going to turn around and say, well, we'll use the provincial championship maybe in years gone by when Dublin were so far ahead? But there's got to be an opportunity for those counties. They're thinking, I would imagine, and we haven't seen this yet, but this may be the weakest Dublin have been in God knows how long. So there's an opportunity. If you're in the other county, you've got to view it that way.
I'm thinking more of the bigger, the sides that are targeting Sam Maguire. I'm not talking about the sides that might, you know, the pinnacle might be a provincial championship. But look, there's so much speculation. I want to hear what games you're hoping to go to and what you're looking forward to seeing this weekend, because we've got a number of games televised. The first game under the new rules, competitive game, is actually going to be at 2:30 p.m. in Ballinamore in Leitrim. We've got Leitrim against Laois. James, you mentioned the massive turnover in the Leitrim panel. Nine starters and two subs that come on in Division 4 final against Laois last year are no longer in the squad. Jeez. Maybe that's a glimpse into potentially why Mickey Graham left, that he probably saw the writing on the wall. I don't know. But massive turnover. Now, we do see turnovers in teams down below, but that is huge. And then we've also got, I'm just seeing the Kildare senior football squad has been announced as well. So the Laois squad has been announced, the Kildare squad has been announced. Brian Flanagan, Paddy, somebody we'll probably keep an eye on is that team this year in Division 3. They're playing Fermanagh on the Saturday as well. So in Division 2, we'll have Cork and Meath on the Saturday and Cavan Monaghan, two tasty games. But in Division 1, these games now are going to be televised. Galway Armagh, 5:15, is on RTE. We've got Tyrone and Derry, which won't be televised. And then we've got Dublin Mayo in Croke Park that evening. We're both at that, Paddy. And in Kerry Donegal at 1:45 p.m. on TG Carr, will we have somebody on the ground in Fitzgerald Stadium to tell us what the punters are saying, what Jimmy Tim and Ambrose are saying?
I will be at that game.
Love it.
Wow, what a beautiful man. You work too hard.
We're training in the morning. We moved training to facilitate that very important first round National League.
Are you captain this year?
No, Jesus.
Oh, okay.
Captain of the pod.
No. Oh, yes, you are.
I'll be there because I reckon there's a nice bit of excitement down here, but Kerry won't have their full panel. They're not picking from any of the Austin Stacks players. And you have the Dr. Crokes players. I don't think the Cliffords have been tipping around there yet either. So Kerry will have an experimental-ish side, but some very good options there for them, I think.
Brilliant.
So it'll be interesting to see. And I can't wait to see Donegal as well, because
I think so too.
They're realistically, they are number one ranked at the moment in the new format, I think. Everyone's expecting them to hit the road running with the new rules. So we'll see.
Just on Sunday, are TG Carr showing two games on Sunday?
So the Kerry Donegal game, there's deferred coverage of it, right? But it's live on the player, on the TG Carr player, if you want to put that on. I'll actually be at Kirkcaldy.
Is the Kerry the game on Sunday or Saturday?
Kerry game is on Sunday. It's the only Division 1 game on the Sunday. So,
and it's not live. It's deferred.
It's live on the player, but it's deferred on the TV, because the All-Ireland champions, Clare, have Kilkenny coming in the hurling to Cusick Park. The hurling league is starting this year the same time as well.
So it's normally staggered. Okay.
No, it does, yeah, but it's an absolutely jam-packed weekend.
Jesus, there's no new rules in hurling, though, anyway. Jesus Christ.
Okay. We've seen all that before.
Exactly, yeah, it's boring.
Stick to the new stuff.
We'll definitely be talking about Division 2 on the members pod, and we'll go a bit deeper into some of the games a little later in the week. So that'll be Wednesday. So get a hold of the Off the Ball app or join the Off the Ball members subscription to get that throughout the year. We'll have episodes every Wednesday. It's worth noting that we've had the All-Ireland winners in Division 2 in the last two seasons.
Yeah.
This year, very close, a lot of teams geographically close to each other, and a lot of tighter than it's probably been in previous years. And in Division 1, it is just so tight. Division 3, of course, teams fighting for their lives to get into the Sam Maguire and try and stay out of Division 4, and the Division 4 teams that are trying desperately to get up and make that bit of progress. So a brilliant competition. Really looking forward to following it and covering it over the next couple of weekends. Paddy, James, thanks for joining me so early on a Monday. We'll get the pod out early for our listeners back home. I want to ask you one quick question, and I want a quick answer. Have you thought about how differently you're going to follow a game this weekend? Have you got notes ready? Have you got a format in place, or are you just going to get lost in the chaos?
Preparation.
God. Us. How long do you know us, Tommy? Jesus Christ.
I've got bloody Excel spreadsheet. I've got graphs drawn out. I'm going to be like tracking 2 points.
Tommy, just remember, we're learning as well here. We see the game. I'll be in Croker. Jimmy will be in Fitzgerald Stadium. We'll have a look at this. And we'll take it from there. We'll have a call before we walk.
I want to hear your advice next week for people. The football pod guide, dummy's guide to watching game. Paddy, we're going to leave it here with Mick Fitzsimons in the shadows of Croke Park. He became the first Dublin men's footballer to win 10 senior All-Ireland titles. You can make it 11 if you throw in his All-Ireland junior title.
Don't forget that one. Don't sleep on that one.
What a legend. Nice chat here. Give us a last word on Mick Fitzsimons, and then we'll leave the pod for this morning.
An incredible teammate, and a guy who has made the absolute most. Talk about squeezing the orange out of his career. Wasn't an underage star, any of that side of things. At times he was on the bench with Dublin in his early career, but he has gone on to put together one of the greatest ever Gaelic football careers. And it couldn't happen to a nicer guy, a sounder bloke, and someone who you will go to war for. He'd do anything for you. I was so happy for him yesterday. What a guy, and he deserves it.
Paddy, fair play. We'll catch up on Wednesday. James Donoghue, enjoy your Michelin star breakfast in the Cliffhouse
Hotel.
Off
to the pool, is it, Jimmy? What a life you have.
It was going to be a Michelin star. They closed the Michelin star restaurant in January.
Well, I hope you still had a nice
time. It's right, they upgraded the room.
Oh.
You know
the room is good when there's a stairs in the room. You know, like you walk in, I'm like, oh, this
how
is.
How much are you getting paid for? This is.
I've got a hard time.
Text me on the Off the Ball credit card number again. I will.
I've got to hop on to Off the Ball breakfast. Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue, thanks for joining us. Have a listen to Mick Fitzsimons, and we'll catch up on Wednesday. Thanks to everybody for tuning back in and sticking with us. Season 5 is go. Mick Fitzsimons, I've caught you in the shadows of Croke Park. Little while after your club have just achieved a bit of history. How are you right now? You're quite cool, calm and collected all the time. Are you still like that right now? Are you like that at full time?
Definitely not the last 15 or the whole second half. I'd say it wasn't like that. Absolutely buzzing. Just nice to celebrate in the dressing room and then have a few moments afterwards, getting a bit of food there and just walking out with the cup. We all drove in, so Pig, the captain, and a four of the lads driving off back with the cup then to the club, so we'll make our way back. So, surreal. Everything we ever dreamt of, and just absolutely buzzing.
We heard from the captain, James Power, after the game, and he was talking about being his first senior game of Cool was back in 2004, and how different things have been over the years for you as a club. Mm. For you yourself, Conor McKeown had a piece today in the Indo, and we all know the stories of players that didn't make minor panels or whatever, but you weren't even making under 16 teams or under 14 teams at times for Cool.
The league for that piece was Paddy Murdoch's steak knife. he actually walked out to the car, he would have coached me underage, under 16, but yeah, he was just joking about it there. But yeah, it's just some journey. Like, yeah, there would have been ups and downs, and individually, but as a collective, as a team, there's definitely ups and downs. We struggled to win intermediate, we struggled to get out of senior B, we struggled to get a team together, managements together at times, and like the constant route where some of the backroom team there, like and McGowan and Jerry Killian, and then also Luke and James Power, and some of the senior players like John Fitzsimons, my brother Sheeran, David Sheeran, Conor O'Brien, they've just all been huge. And then the next batch of Siege and Luke Tracy, we just had a great group, but like at times we couldn't get people training at all, so it was just phenomenal for us just to be able to stick at it and pull through. So yeah,
you seem to have a lovely blend of experience and youth and different characters across the team, and character is one thing you've needed, because you've seemed to have got yourselves into unbelievable positions, like in games this year, and a team might come back at you, and it nearly didn't feel possible given how dominant and brilliant you were in the first half. But Errol Kieran produced a performance in the second half and they came at you, but Peter Duffy claims the ball from the sky and kicks a brilliant score. Conor Callaghan has a couple of interventions. I think he made a block at one stage and sets up a score or two. You just had players stepping up at different stages throughout the game and throughout your campaigns. Like, that was a first Dublin title, a first Leinster title. Mm. So character is a big thing in that Cooligan.
Oh, yeah, it was like we were practicing it, throwing games away. I remember the Crokes final. We had really stemmed them and done very well defensively, and a ball broke out over the sideline. They doubled on it and suddenly we're conceding a goal and we're in trouble, and then we get a man sent off in the same play. So it wasn't a surprise, teams coming back. We probably tried to prevent it, but we seem to have not been able to do that in every game. In every game we've kind of been dominant. We've been up in most games this year. I think nearly all games, maybe bar Clontarf, they got a lead in the second half. But I think every other game we've been up ahead, like not cruising, but doing well in games, and then we've let teams get back in. So yeah, it doesn't matter, and we haven't done any.
You're not going to be reflecting on it.
We haven't got any shrinks in to tell us why we're losing concentration or whatever. But we play like an aggressive style of football. We go at it. We probably needed to taper a small bit in the second half. We kind of turned over a few going, not for goal, but like getting caught sucked in. But geez, Errigal were phenomenal. Like Peter Hart's goal, and then I think he was out on a break straight after the kick out. It was the Roy the Rover stuff, and we knew they were a class team. They were obviously unlucky to lose Dara, but like the two Canavans and the rest of them, they're a serious outfit. So we were absolutely delighted. We had only had a week, which was nearly good. You didn't have to spend too much time looking at them and worrying about them, and we just got at it. Like, so.
And McGinley noted afterwards that when he watched your post-match at the end of the semi-final, he had a behind-the-goal camera, and he saw how cool and calm you were at the end of the game. He shook hands with the opposition.
We couldn't even get the behind-the-goal camera. So.
Really? Well, he got them.
Oh, yeah.
But he felt like that emotion, the emotion of Newbridge, that you were just able to manage that week a bit better. And obviously, in hindsight, it's easy to say that, but did you find that you did manage the week? Like, you have such experience of occasions like this.
Yeah, I don't know. That game was a difficult game against Rentale. A very difficult game. And like, there's advantages for both teams. Like, I'd say they could have nearly been preparing for us, thinking if you were going by bookies, as we didn't think we'd get through Strandhill easy at all. We thought it was definitely going to be a very tough battle. But I'd imagine on the outside, based on that, they could have been preparing for us. So yeah, there was advantages, like us getting through that game without having getting extra time, even though we nearly got pulled into that. Definitely probably still to us, but like in the end of the game, they were coming stronger than us in the second half.
True.
So yeah,
but you started today exceptionally well. I think you slipped Cal in for that early goal.
It's all a bit of a blur, but like Cal's been phenomenal. Yeah. We've loads of these lads that just they don't overthink it. They just go at it and go hard, like phenomenal to get the rewards from it.
You're very good to stop for a quick chat. I know you're going to make yourself your way across town now for the celebrations. I presume it's in the clubhouse. It's history for the club.
Yeah.
You know, two All-Ireland titles in hurling 6 or 7 years ago, and then today you're only the second club ever to achieve that. So it's an amazing achievement. I'm sure it'll be brilliant for future generations in Coola. On an individual level, you know, you've become the first men's Gaelic footballer from Dublin to win 10 senior All-Ireland titles. I know that probably doesn't mean a huge amount to you, but Conn has now joined a list of just 13 players to win a senior hurling and a senior football title. it might mean as much to you now, or you might shirk from it, but for kids in Dublin looking up to the likes of yourselves, it's an absolutely huge thing as well.
Yeah, well, Colin's achievement's phenomenal, like, and like those Cork hurlers back in the day. It's tough to play dual, but I always like admire. I wish I found it difficult. I tried to play dual, but I wasn't good enough to play dual. But I tried to be involved in it, but we were so deprecated at stages with the footballers that like we couldn't miss a week. Some of the key players. But Con has just been phenomenal to be able to do both of them and to be so good at it. But regards the other stuff, like, I don't think anyone going into team sport, like, I think you're in the wrong place if you're looking for individual stuff. Or the beauty of Gaelic football, the beauty of club football, it's just about the team, about the bigger group. And we've had a great group of 32, 35 lads, and just see their faces afterwards and to be able to enjoy it with them. And just knowing the hardship, not hard, like everyone goes through hardship, but just we had hard, cold training sessions through Christmas, and then to be able to reap the rewards now and go back and enjoy it in Coole is just what you do it for.
Well, Mick Fitzsimons, your people, your team, your club have reached the pinnacle today. Congratulations and well done.
Thanks, man. Time.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.